This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
Well, good afternoon and a happy Monday, the 17th day of June, 2024. Great to have you riding along with us here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, 760 WJR. I am Anthony Bellino filling in for Uncle Paul here on Focus with Paul W. Smith and coming to you live from the beautiful Oakland Hills Country Club, which, you know, after the U.S. Open is the perfect venue on a Monday. When you look back to yesterday's events and what took place, Bryson DeChambeau, perhaps maybe the most clutch golf shot hit in U.S. Open history, 55 yards out of a bunker and stuck it within 5 feet and then made the putt afterwards. Rory McIlroy bogeys three of his final four holes on the way out, and Bryson DeChambeau hoists the trophy. Good for the Live Tour, bad for the PGA, and Oakland Hills will host eight of those such events in the coming years, beginning with the U.S. Junior Am this July, the 22nd through the 27th, the U.S. Women's Open in 2031 and 2042, the U.S. Open, of course, in 2034, and then again in 2051, the U.S. Women's Am in 2029, the U.S. Girls Junior Am in 2038, and the U.S. Amateur in 2047. We are here, of course, because of Corwell Health's Drive for Life Invitational. I was pulled off the golf course by Jeff Marcereau because Uncle Paul was going to be out of town. He said, you know what, you got to fill in for Paul W. today, Anthony. You're off the team, and that's all because I couldn't make a putt last week at our previous outing. That's why that happened. I won't hear otherwise. It's not because Paul W's on vacation. It's because I couldn't make a punt. And we're joined by Tom McGannon, the Vice President of Community Engagement, Corwell Health Foundation of Southeast Michigan. Tom, thank you. I just asked you, do we have any outings next week we can play in?
We need to get you out. Apparently, if your putting is a little off, we'll take care of that for you.
You know what? In the week before we were out here, and I'm telling you, Tom, the cup looked like Lake Erie. Your boy was not missing. Couldn't miss a putt. I was dialed in. We played Casey Lubon, who's out there today, the head golf coach for Michigan State University. And, I mean, the long putter was going. He was looking at me like I was on tour. I said, hey, you got any scholarships left? He was giggling. He loved it. TPC Michigan last week?
You know what? It was the course. It was not you. I'm sure of it.
Well, you know, thank you very much for that. All right, Tom, let's get into today's event because this is a big one. Give me the overview, the experience. Why are we here at Oakland Hills?
What a great place to play golf. One of the best courses in the state of Michigan. And we're so delighted to have this partnership as we raise funds for our breast cancer programs at our Royal Oak and our Troy hospitals. We have generous, generous sponsors who have come out and supported this event for years and years. This event has been happening in different forms for more than 30 years, but we've raised $10 million to support oncology services at our Royal Oak and Troy Hospital with generous sponsors. It's an amazing day, it's a great course, and it's generous community members who help us make that happen.
How many people are expected to attend this event? Because I see golfers all over the place. In fact, we were almost hit by a ball earlier. It landed like right about there, went off the awning. It was what an incredible shot. They didn't play it, obviously, but how many people do you think are going to be out here today?
Sorry about that. That might have been me. We have about 200 golfers who joined us today, and it's various corporations throughout Detroit and Michigan who all come to celebrate healthcare and help us help our patients with a great day of golf.
Now, you mentioned the funds just a moment ago, but how much money is expected to be raised just here today?
We'll raise about $300,000.
Wow.
Yeah, all that money goes directly back into the community. It helps us with transportation services so that patients who might not be able to get to their cancer treatment and they don't have to make that choice. We help them get to those cancer treatment programs and sessions. We underwrite the cost of care for some of them as well, and we use this money to also collect data so that we are improving our patient experience and outcomes. This event does more than you can imagine.
You know, and that when you talk about, I got to get to, where did that idea come from to say, hey, you know what, it's we're going to be able to transport people that don't have their own transportation? Because you talk about community impact, and a lot of people say it, but that's really putting, you know, the wheels in motion there.
It is. We have very caring clinicians who ask each patient, how's your situation? What do you need? And support helps you to make sure that this treatment process for you is easy for you. And maybe somebody doesn't have a spouse or a family member who can drive them, or a friend or neighbor, and that they would have to make that choice. We don't want them to. We want them to get the treatment they need.
Wow. That's Yeah, I mean, you talk about community impact. That's it right there. I mean, that is not just, you know, throwing your name on something. That's actually, you know, getting out there, making a difference, using those funds to help the, you know, better the care and the treatment of, you know, people that are in, you know, dire need, that need this sort of thing. How can listeners still support this program? If they couldn't make it out here today, or if they wanted more information, maybe they wanted to join me, you know, not make a putt at TPC Michigan last week, or maybe come out here to Oakland Hills, how can they still get involved?
Sure. And that's the beauty of events like this. It takes people who are participating on site the day of the event, but we also get a lot of folks who listen in or who might receive our invitation and say, I can't golf, but let me make a contribution. And there are two ways you can do that. You can call the Corwell Health Foundation at 522-947-0100. I'm sorry, it's 947-522-0100. And you can also log on to our website, which is beaumont.org/give, and make your gift online.
Now, once again, 947-522-0100, beaumont.org/give. That is, you know, looking to raise $300,000. What are some of the other, I guess, not necessarily the initiatives, right, but what else do these funds support?
Well, when we work with these different patients, we've supported lots of things during the years, from fellowships for training breast care surgeons, so they're getting top-notch treatment right here in our community. Patient treatment scholarships, a lot of our fundraising goes to that to make sure people can afford the care as well. It impacts specialty training for our clinicians and our nurses. It funds nurse navigators, so we actually have nurses who will help you navigate the cancer care programs as well, too. So from top to bottom, we're there to help.
Wow. It's just it's incredible. And I believe last week you said something to us on Sports Wrap with Lomas Brown and myself that really stood out to me, and that was taking care of those who might be underinsured.
Can you imagine not being able to afford care if you get that diagnosis? And no, having to make any of those choices to whether you pay your rent versus you might have cancer care treatment, and we want to make sure you never have to make that choice.
That's something that really stood out to me last week that I wanted to, you know, circle back on for this event here, because it is a fun way to get out, to have people that, you know, can contribute financially to this cause, get to have a fun day. You know, they go play golf on, you know, the most prestigious course here in the great state of Michigan, and it is a mecca of golf. So they get to, you know, enjoy their round. But to really think about where those dollars go and the impact that that can have on people's lives. You might go out here and win the tournament. You might go out here and throw a couple bogeys on the card in a scramble. But at the end of the day, you know that, hey, we actually did something that made a difference in people's lives. And when you talk about the decisions that have to be made, especially when it comes to healthcare, right, when it comes to medicine and how, you know, someone who is underinsured has to make some of those choices, and where these funds can go to help provide for those types of people, it's special.
It is. And then we have sponsors who step forward to take care of that. Our title sponsor, Ahead, the more than 50 sponsors who have joined us today, all very generous community leaders who want to make sure that they're helping.
Well, Tom, as always, thank you for allowing us to be a part of this great event. It is it's special. I know Jeff Marcereau is out there right now with Coach Casey and whoever else they got to fill in for me. Can't believe that.
Not having as much fun without you.
No, I'm telling you. They're not having as much fun as I am here today with you. Tom McGannon, Vice President, Community Engagement at Corwell Health Foundation of Southeast Michigan. The Drive for Life right here at Oakland Hills. Tom, my friend, thank you so much for your time.
Our pleasure.
We'll be back with more Focus with Paul W. Smith. Anthony Bellino filling in for Paul W. here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, 760 WJR. Welcome back here to Focus with Paul W. Smith. Anthony Bellino filling in for Paul W. this afternoon from the Corwell Health Drive for Life Invitational here at the beautiful Oakland Hills Country Club. And we have to shift gears, though. There was a tragedy that took place in this area in Rochester Hills, what many would determine would be a nightmarish weekend on Father's Day weekend, of course. And let's get right to it. Brian Barnett joins us, the mayor of Rochester Hills, as 9 people were injured when a gunman opened up fire on a splash pad there in Rochester Hills on Saturday. Brian, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to join us here on WJR. I can't even imagine what the last 48 hours have looked like for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It is, it's been a traumatic and chaotic last 48 hours, but I'm reminded that, you know, I'm fine. Our community will be okay. Our main focus is with those 9 folks that were injured, in particular the 2 that are that still remain in critical condition, and we pretty much remain singularly focused on their recovery at the moment.
What do we know about the events that took place this past Saturday?
Well, obviously, there's a lot to unpack. We what's been reported and what we know, we've reported most of what we know. Obviously, the situation appears to be completely random. I mean, this individual, hadn't had a history with the police. There wasn't a lot that we knew about him in advance. It doesn't, there is no reason for him to pick our splash pad. The folks that are injured, as I mentioned, seven of them in, stable condition, two in critical, three of them related. One of them was a member of our team. My heart breaks because you know what a splash pad is. I mean, it's a place where kids gather, where most of them are under 10. I mean, it's a place where family memories are created, and it wasn't on Saturday. And, there's so many emotions. There's sadness, there's anger, but I have to tell you that there's also quite a bit of pride and hope. I mean, just the heroes of the story are the first responders, who over 100 of them descended on the scene shortly after, and so many stories of the community coming together. This community will rebound. This issue won't define us. I think our response will.
Mayor, I have to ask you, you mentioned about the quick response and the ability for authorities to track down the perpetrator, and then of course the scene there at his home, but everybody working as quickly as possible. For those of us that are not in law enforcement or are in government, to be able to bring all of those resources together to come to a conclusion, albeit one in which the gunman decided on his own accord to end his own life, but to be able to get all of those wheels in motion as quickly as possible to find the suspect, I thought was truly remarkable.
You're right about that. It was a mix of some newer technology that proved very effective, along with just good hard police work and tremendous professionalism from those first responders. It's unique to note that some of the very first people on scene, I think we were on the scene within 2 minutes. We have a fire station just around the corner from the splash pad, but there were a couple residents that were there even before we got there, and one of them even had a tourniquet and just immediately began providing medical assistance to some of the most injured folks. And it says a lot about people that run towards those kinds of things than those that don't. And for me, those are the things that encourage me. I know that's the spirit of our community. That's who we are. We are in a different community because of that event. We are who we've always been. And that's what I saw that day, was incredible professionalism and some people that didn't have to, but provided help when it was needed most.
Mayor Barnett, it's something that, we as Americans, I don't really know maybe the correct way to phrase this, but we're too familiar with, right? And it's been going on for a couple of decades now, where we see something like this in the news, and it's not until it hits home, and then there's the reality of it all, if you will. And then, time marches on. How do you... I don't know. What would you say to the people that are concerned, the people that are maybe afraid? How do we rebound from something like this? And we may have lost the mayor there, at least for a brief moment. The power of technology, right? As long as it works when we need it. That's what's most that is what is most important. As you mentioned, the power of some new technology that the police department had used there in Rochester Hills. Mayor, do we still have you back?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
There we go. Now we can hear you, right? Hey, as long as it works when we need it the most, right? And so I guess my question is, how do we reassure our communities? What do we tell our people? What's the message moving forward?
Well, it's a great question, and I think what I was saying is I don't know if there's a perfect answer for that. What I feel is important, and what I will try to lead in whatever area I'm able to in, is, listen, we will learn from this as much as we can. We've been in meetings all day. I just returned personally from the splash pad just a few moments ago. We will study this up and down and learn everything possible we can from this to better our community response moving forward. But what we won't do is let us change this. We will not let some person who chose randomly this location to change who we are. We value as a community getting together, celebrating open spaces, creating memories. I went yesterday specifically to spend time in one of our Rochester Hills parks. There were hundreds of people there with me. We're not going to change who we are. And that, I think, hopefully says a lot about what we are as a community and what we value. And I'll try to walk that line between there, but that's just as important to me.
And Mayor Barnett, this might be too soon to ask this question, but with the way that the suspect decided his own outcome in this, how do we go about trying to find, I don't know, maybe some justice or some closure? Because these families that have been affected by this, you know, they're going to feel the entire spectrum of feelings, and you know, no one can blame them for whether it's sadness, anger, whatever the case may be. But how do we get closure in an event like this when the suspect is deceased?
Yeah, that's really tough. You know, there's different schools of thought on whether it's better for a community for it to end like this, or you know, end in a trial and a prosecution. I'm not sure we'll ever know, even if he hadn't done what he chose to do, if we'd ever understand why. It appears that mental health was a significant component in his journey, in his life, and sometimes those questions just aren't answered. But what I can tell you that is important, and what a community can do, is stand up services for those that need it. We immediately put together a counseling center, opened it up right in the neighborhood there at our Department of Public Services. We had dozens of people stop by yesterday, families. I stopped by there yesterday. You could hear tears, you could hear laughter, and that's part of a journey and a process to healing, is to be able to talk with professionals, share whatever situation you may be feeling with. We have those that station, that community center, open the rest of this week. We'll keep it open as long as we need to. We had people on staff in the building today for our residents, those that responded to the scene. So we're going to stand up as many support services as we can for those that need it. That's something a community can do. And I just would share with your listeners, if you know someone, if it's you yourself that's struggling with some challenges, seek the help you need, because it can make a huge difference.
Well, Mayor Barnett, we appreciate your time. For those that are listening, is there a website or a phone number, or if somebody is in need of some help, whether it be some counseling after the event, or if they need something from Rochester Hills, is there somewhere that they can go?
Yeah, you call my office, call the City Hall. We will direct you wherever you need to go. There are obviously national numbers for those that need immediate help, 988 and other numbers. But if you want to specifically help or need help in Rochester Hills, call City Hall, hit our website, and we'll direct you and get you the help you need.
He is the mayor of Rochester Hills, Brian Barnett. And Mayor Barnett, thank you so much for your time. I'm so sorry that it is under the circumstances that we had this conversation. But you know, hopefully hope is on the horizon. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Focus with Paul W. Smith. Anthony Bellino filling in for Paul W. here on this Monday, 17th day of June, 2024. We'll be back with retired Brigadier General Doug Slocum, former Air Wing Commander for the 127th Fighter Group at Selfridge Air National Guard Base. He joins us. A new book that is coming out. We're going to touch on that, as we met at dinner, and he said he had a book. So I said, let's talk about it. We'll do that next year on Focus with Paul W. Smith. It is the Corwell Health Drive for Life Invitational here at the beautiful Oakland Hills Country Club that is going to be hosting 8 USGA events over the next, I don't even know, my quick math here isn't very quick. I want to say 27 years, and it's great. And being on the heels of the U.S. Open yesterday, what a wonderful venue. Couldn't have picked a better place and a better cause to be here at Oakland Hills. Anthony Bellino filling in for Paul W. Smith here on Focus on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, 760 WJR. And last week, you may have been listening to Sports Wrap with myself and Lomas Brown. We were at an event called Thrilla Gives at the Palazzo Grande, and I sat down at this table with my new uncle, Tony Rubino, because obviously anybody that's older than me automatically becomes my uncle. And Uncle Tony sits me down at this table, and we're sitting there. Lomas and I were eating and meeting and greeting and doing all of these things. And he said, I want to introduce you to the general. I said, the general? He said, yes, we have a general here. And I said, well, my goodness. So we get to talking, and what do you know? Retired Brigadier General Doug Slocum, former Air Wing Commander for the 127th Fighter Group at Selfridge Air National Guard Base, is sitting right there. We get to talking. He's got a book out, and I said, you know what? I have just the right opportunity opportunity to talk about this book. Let's do it on Focus on Monday. He, of course, agreed, and he joins us now. General, first and foremost, my friend, thank you for taking the time to join us. How are you this Monday?
Anthony, I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Life is good. I have no complaints. It's warm. It's 96 degrees out. The sun is out. We're at Oakland Hills. You're on the telephone. Nothing could be better right now. Life is good, my friend. Let's dive right into the book, Violent Positivity, A Fighter Pilot's Journey, Leadership Lessons on Caring for People. Where did this all spawn from, this idea that, you know what, I need to put my thoughts down, put pen to paper. I need to start writing.
That's an outstanding question. I was actually blessed with a great 35-year career flying fighter jets and meeting and dealing with some of the most amazing men and women you'd ever want to meet. And some of the stories that came out of that, I just absolutely thought needed to be put down in writing, put on record. I've had some amazing, fantastic opportunities. And I wrote the book, you know, to kind of put it down on paper, but also as like I dedicated the book to my daughter, for the very reasons of just wanting her to know what her dad went through in my life.
Well, happy Father's Day to you then as well. I know I'm a day late, but it still counts, right? Well, I'm in the 24-hour window. But during your 35 years of service, you know, it goes on to talk about your innovation of programs for safety, organizational culture, suicide prevention, resiliency, and more. Take us into that world.
Oh, and fantastic. The cover, you know, is a nice picture of me with an A-10. You know, it looks great. The graphic artist did wonderful work. But really, the highlights of my career had to do with caring for people. Just the opposite when you think of a warrior. Mine was about making sure that people got home safely every night. I had bosses that were fantastic in giving me enough rope to be able to do what I needed to do. And we were able to innovate programs in safety. I ended up writing a program, taking what we did as pilots and applying it to maintenance, ended up adopted by the whole Air Force, other Air Forces around the world, medical, nuclear power industry, manufacturing. And I ended up spending a bulk of my career traveling, teaching, talking about leadership. And, you know, once again, just getting to meet these wonderful men and women as part of that process. There's so many great things that happened in stories that, you know, I started to write. It worked. It ended up being a 4-year-long project to make this all happen, but I was excited when it finally did.
When you were, all right, I'm writing this down, and I whether it's handwritten or it's typed out, what's the next phase in the process of, you know what, let's put this into a book. Now who do I call to get a book published? What do I do next?
Well, that is a fantastic, that kind of was part of the story in its own right. Because when I got done with the book, I started calling publishers. And believe it or not, a lot of publishers did not want to publish the title that I'd come up with for the book. I have always referred to my leadership style as violent positivity. And there was a lot of publishers that said they don't want to see that word violent. You know, I would need to change the title. Well, if my introductory chapter starts with a phrase in italics that says, you can't do that. And I said, that phrase has driven me to do more in my life than anything else. So when publishers said, you can't do that, I said, guess what? Watch this. I ended up self-publishing. So it was a self-publishing lesson. It's great how we're able to do that. And I think it worked out very well.
Throughout this book, was there anything that came across as you were writing down? Obviously, you had a plan of attack and how you wanted to structure the stories you wanted to include, maybe what got cut and ended up on the editor's floor, as they like to say. But was there anything that surprised you that just kind of came to your mind and you thought, oh, my goodness, I have to add this, and I wasn't even planning on it?
No, I wouldn't phrase it that way. What was interesting is I kind of wanted to go with what I was teaching and tell the stories. And it really didn't flow the way that I would do it normally with public speaking. I had to rearrange it chronologically. So a lot more of it became a autobiography.
I like that.
Yeah, and it's why it took such a long time, because as I started writing, it's like I know what it's like to get on stage to talk to people, but this was different. And it ended up being, like I said, it was never intended that way, but it came out a lot more of an autobiography.
And as you know, as where I lived for a long period of my life down in Toledo, Ohio, there was the 180th, right? And the 180th, you knew when they were out exercising, right? You knew when they were out flying around because the sound alone. And I would always think to myself, like, you know, here I know that they're just flying over, they're doing some things, and they're just working. But you know, across the world, that sound means I don't know, maybe a lot more and is much different to many people when they hear the sound of a fighter jet. My question is, do you miss hopping in the plane in that role?
To some degree, yes. Like I said, I was blessed to spend 35 years doing that. So in a way, I feel like I've had my opportunity, you know, but it's great. When we had the Air Force Thunderbirds here, it was almost like a flashback. I felt like I could just hop in one of those F-16s and just go from rote memory. But, you know, the 180th is one of the many of our Air National Guard units around the country that just do great work. They fly F-16s. And sure enough, you know, they have a tendency to make a little noise. But to me, it's the most glorious sound. And if you get near them, it's a wonderful smell, too.
General Slocum, people can find your book all over the place. Obviously, Amazon, most people are on there. Violent Positivity, A Fighter Pilot's Journey, Leadership Lessons on Caring for People. You know, they always say that you come across people, you know, and you meet for a reason. And I really do feel like that conversation last week at the Thrilla brought me to you, or you to me, whatever it is. And we were, you know, obviously able to meet for a purpose. A portion of that purpose is to talk about this book here on this very show. But my friend, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, and I know I'll be dialing your number soon.
Anthony, thank you so much. And like you said, Brady, further information, violentpositivity.com has links to everything. Thank you for the opportunity to talk today, and I look forward to round two.
Violentpositivity.com. That is the website. He is General Doug Slocum, former Air Wing Commander for the 127th. There at Selfridge Air National Guard Base. We'll step aside when we return here on Focus with Paul W. Smith. The doctor, Nina Deckney, will join us, Section Chief and Breast Surgery Fellowship Director at the Marilyn and Walter Wolpin Breast Center. She'll join us next. Coming to you live from Oakland Hills Country Club, the Corwell Health Drive for Life Invitational rolls along with Focus after this. Welcome back here to Focus with Paul W. Smith. Anthony Bellino filling in for Paul W. today, live from the Corwell Health Drive for Life Invitational here at the beautiful Oakland Hills Country Club, and have the honor and the privilege to be joined live on site here with Dr. Nina Deckney, the Section Chief and Breast Surgery Fellowship Director at the Maryland and Walter Wolpin Breast Center. Doctor, thank you for joining us. Fresh out of surgery, ran right over here. You have to go back to the hospital after. The things you do.
Well, thank you, Anthony, and it's really my honor and privilege to be here. This group, the donors and the sponsors, have been so steadfast in their support of the breast program over the years, and I've been doing this for 20-some years. We've been able to launch so many innovative programs, both for preventing, early detection, and treating breast cancer.
Now, this tournament here, the funds raised here at this day, you know, we talked to Tom McGannon, the Vice President of Community Engagement earlier, said that roughly $300,000 will be brought in just today alone. How do those funds help with the patient care?
This is why we are able to offer patients innovative programs, and I particularly want to talk about the most recent innovation that we've launched at Corwell, and that is robotic breast surgery. So we are one of the few handful of centers around the world, really, to offer robotic breast surgery. The other centers, we are the only center in Michigan, but the other centers that offer this kind of approach to breast cancer are Mayo Clinic, MD Anderson. We did our, it's part of a clinical study, and we did our trial last week, a case. This is use of a Da Vinci single port robot. Normally, when we do these procedures, we make a cut that's about 5 to 6 inches long. With the robot, I'm able to do this through an inch and a half incision and do the entire procedure along with reconstruction all in one shot. It is really amazing.
Wow.
To be able to offer that.
So you go from 5 to 6 inches down to an inch and a half?
Inch and a third. 3.5 centimeters, to be precise.
Oh, there we go. See, we can go to centimeters. I just gave the temperature in Celsius earlier, so you know we're multifaceted here. Yep. You talk about some of the advancements in technology. that help you with the actual surgery itself? What are some of the advancements as far as early detection for my sister, for my mother, for our wives? Yeah. You know, how do we get out in front of this?
So we are starting to move away from, oh, this one size fits all. Everybody needs to be screened and, you know, with this, this, and this. We are sort of directing it to one's perceived risk. So in other words, we now know, and these are guidelines from our national societies, that screening for breast cancer needs to start as early as 25. And what that means is we need to take a detailed family history, look at your other risk factors, such as your, you know, height, weight, and calculate statistical models. And if you fall in the high risk category, you should start screening as early as 25. There are patients who have genetic mutations that we start with MRI as early as 25. The standard average risk patients, we start at age 40. And that is where we have all kinds of options for screening, such as MRIs, 3D mammograms. We're trying to get a contrast-enhanced mammography. We have whole breast ultrasound. My message really here is it doesn't matter what technology you use, just get screened. And get screened according to your risk.
And get screened early now as okay, well.
Yes, yes.
Are there preventative measures that one can take? Obviously, you just mentioned, you know, genetic mutation. We have no control over that. But maybe are there some things that we do have control over in our own personal lives?
And that is a great point. There are factors we control, and those are namely our body mass index or our weight. It helps to have ideal body mass index, exercise, eat healthy, avoid processed foods, avoid alcohol. These are all measures that have shown to decrease breast cancer risk. But the preventative measures that we offer are for patients who have genetic mutations who don't have an option. They're born with that gene. And in some patients, those risks are as high as 85% lifetime. And in those are the patients where we offer them more aggressive approach, such as a preventative mastectomy. And that is where this technology of using the robot is going to make a big difference.
Wow. And then the funding of all of that coming from events like this, like today.
Seed fund. For this, and I cannot thank our sponsors and donors enough for that.
And this is a wonderful opportunity for folks to come out, play a round of golf at a historic track here at Oakland Hills. They get to have a lot of fun, and they get to be able to give to a cause that helps our direct community, our physicians here, our patients here.
You got it.
It's so exciting. And doctor, is there anything else from your perspective that you want people to know, a message that you could pass along?
I think every bit of support helps. We provide a whole host of patient support, such as transportation, social work, psychological support, and Dr. Stromberg is going to emphasize all that. Patients who themselves, once they go through the program, willingly support this program. So anybody who's interested in supporting this program can look us up online at or visit bowman.org/giving and make a donation.
Or they can call 947-522-0100. That's 947-522-0100 at bowmont.org/giving is the website. If you want to hop on and get involved today, you're hearing the show, you want to be interested. You know, we talked to Tom earlier, and he was discussing the transportation element, right? Being able to help those in need that don't have the resources, that might have to make a decision between, hey, is it, you know, for those that are underinsured, do I pay my rent? Do I go get the care? We need to get the care, and that's why getting involved in events like today are so vitally important.
Absolutely.
Well, doctor, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much. You have another surgery upcoming. You just left the hospital. You're going back. She's nonstop, folks.
This is worth it. Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you very much. That's Dr. Nina Deckney. She is the Section Chief and Breast Surgery Fellowship Director at the Marilyn and Walter Wolpin Breast Center here at the Corwell Health Drive for Life Invitational at Oakland Hills. Hopefully she grabs a water and maybe a little bite to eat as well. Hour number one is in the books, but don't worry, we're coming back. Between 1 and 2 o'clock, meteorologist Andrew Arnold will join us, lead forecaster for the National Weather Service, Dr. Daniel Carey, Kristen Sokol, Dr. Jennifer Stromberg. We got a lot to do here in 1 hour's time here on Focus from the beautiful Oakland Hills Country Club on the heels of the U.S. Open. Not a better place we could have picked to be the day after the U.S. Open at Pinehurst Number 2, the venue for the 2034 and 2051 U.S. Opens right here at Oakland Hills. More Focus with Paul W. Smith after the break here on 760 WJR. Welcome back here to Focus with Paul W. Smith. Anthony Bellino filling in for Uncle Paul today. He just sent me a text message, too. He's away. He's enjoying himself.
He's keeping an ear on you.
Well, he told me, don't burn the place down, would you? I said, I'm trying to keep Ray on his toes over here at the beautiful Oakland Hills in the Drive for Life, the Corwell Health Drive for Life Invitational here, the day after the U.S. Open. And, of course, we'll welcome the U.S. Open here at Oakland Hills in both 2034 and 2051. It was a warm day in Pinehurst, North Carolina, at Pinehurst Number 2 for the U.S. Open. It is a warm day, 97.7 degrees according to our atomic clock. And who better to talk about the weather than meteorologist Andrew Arnold, lead forecaster for the National Weather Service. Andrew, good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us here on Focus. Well, maybe he's joining us. Maybe the heat got his phone too. Oh, there he is. I can hear you loud and clear. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm hot, though. I'm not going to lie. We're outside. We have a little breeze, a little right-to-left breeze here next to the 18th green on the North Course at Oakland Hills. That's my golf voice. What is this that I'm hearing about this heat dome, Andrew? Do I need to be concerned about this?
Yeah, we're looking at some pretty dangerously hot conditions here starting today through most of this week. We're going to see heat indexes up in the upper 90s to possibly 100 degrees. And that's going to cause a lot of stress on people that are outdoors. So it's definitely some dangerous conditions that people need to be aware of and be safe with.
You know, Andrew, you mentioned, you know, it's the conditions, right? And we need to stay hydrated. And I am drinking water just for all of our listeners so that they know they have offered me a plethora of different beverages. But I figured water was probably the best choice if I'm filling in for Paul W. Today. But preventative measures when it's going to get hot out, what can people do outside of just stay inside and turn on the AC?
Yeah. So, yeah, as you said, plenty of water is definitely one of those top items to do. Make sure you're hydrated with water. Plenty of water. If you can stay in air-conditioned rooms, obviously that's another good thing. If you do not have them, make sure you look at your local government websites, especially across Detroit. You can check out their local government website and find your cooling stations that are there for people that do not have ACs. And really just wear light clothing, limit your time outside, all these measures to kind of keep safe from this heat.
Now, you mentioned heat index. So can we define what is the temperature versus the heat index versus real feel? I'm getting all this terminology, and all I know is that, hey, you know what? It's mid-June. It's going to be hot out.
Yeah, so that heat index is kind of one of those parameters there that kind of take into account the how your body, you know, feels the heat. So it's taking into account the regular temperature plus the humidity itself. So when you have that combination of heat and humidity, you get this index value that could be a little slightly higher than the real temperature. So it's what your body's really feeling there. So when we get into those, you know, high moisture environments, which we do have, well, you can really feel it outside right now in those 70 dew points, which is a measure of humidity out there. So when you have that combination, then that's what we're talking about with heat index.
And, you know, when the heat index is high, you mentioned the dew point's high, a lot of moisture in the air. Golf ball's not going to fly as far, folks. We need to know this when we're out here at Oakland Hills. You got to get a little bit more club to get that ball up there because, you know, thick air, the ball doesn't travel as well. Andrew, is this abnormal? I mean, it doesn't necessarily feel like I said. I mean, it's mid-June. It's going to be hot. I expect temperatures to be cold in January and February, and I expect in the summer months, June, July, August, that it's going to be warm out. Where does this year kind of rank as far as, you know, averages in this area?
Yeah, I mean, we're generally on schedule. It maybe feel a little bit earlier in the year here in mid-June. Usually it seems about, you know, early July is when we can really get this heat. But, you know, in terms of abnormal heat for this time, you know, we're right in that sweet spot for when we get these hot days. So it just so happens that this high pressure set up just the right way here, and it's pumping all the good heat and moisture that's been over the plains here the last few days into our area here. So nothing too abnormal, but maybe just, you know, slightly earlier than people might expect, than July when we usually get it.
You know, since you're here, Andrew, do you have a forecast for, you know, you said it was going to be hot the rest of the week, but maybe the next couple weeks, do we know what the temperature is going to be like, how the weather is going to be acting for us here in the greater southeast and, you know, central and, I guess, northern Michigan area?
Let's see. Things, according to the forecast that we got here, things could stay. I think we're right on schedule for above normal potential here. So in terms of 90s, it may cool down a little bit here towards the weekend, and we might return to the 80s here starting early next week. Still a little bit uncertainty with how this the overall high pressure kind of shuffles throughout this period, but really the next 5 days, we're going to see those 90s, possibly mid-90s, and then we might get a little bit, of, if you call it a cool down, into the 80s, possibly by this weekend is what we've got in the forecast right now.
Right now, it looks good. You heard the man. Stay hydrated. Stay in the air conditioning. And, of course, if you're out here playing golf, sweat it out. Maybe a cool towel, right? Get a little moisture going. Get a little sweat going. It's good for you. A beautiful shot just hit here on 18. That one almost went in the hole. I don't know what group this is, but I'm going to track these people down because that was incredible. His name is Andrew Arnold. He's the lead forecaster for the National Weather Service. And meteorologist Arnold, we appreciate your time this afternoon. Thank you. You stay cool and you stay hydrated as well, my friend.
All right, thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you. You was by the way, I want to pass this note along to you because today is a very special day, being that it is June 17th and I am in the sports world. For those that may not know, turning 54 years old, I want to wish a very happy birthday to a model of consistency and someone you take for granted until he's not around anymore, and that guy's name is Jason Hansen, the two-time Pro Bowler and 1992 Pro Football Writers Association Offensive Rookie of the Year, the longtime kicker. Happy birthday to Jason Hansen, because that guy was absolutely dynamite for this organization. 98.8% on extra points. Over the length of his career, 82.4% on the field goals. I mean, he was absolutely money.
It seemed like he's all we had to cheer for during those lean years. I mean, we forget because the Lions have been exciting to watch last season, but for a while, it was Jason Hansen pretty much what we could depend on, and that was it.
Look, Barry, Jason, Johnny, Uncle Herm, Lomas, right? The foundational pieces.
Yes, but then Jason stayed a little longer than those other guys. Kind of after he was there for the heyday of the 90s, and then for a while, kind of through the lean years. But man,
Kitna.
Yeah, who could forget for the Kitna years?
My guy, Danny O. I love Danny O. Sean
Hill. Hill.
Sean Hill. Yeah. Yep. Joey Harrington.
You mean Joey Ballgame?
Joey Ballgame. We could go on and on, naming former quarterbacks. We will be back. Dr. Daniel Carey will join us. He's the president, Corwell Health at William Beaumont University Hospital there in Royal Oak. He's the co-chair of this fabulous event here at Oakland Hills, and he's going to join us. He literally just walked off the golf course to come hop on the radio with us. He's coming up next here on Focus with Paul W. Smith. Anthony Bellino filling in for Paul W. today on the great voice of the Great Lakes, 760 WJR. Welcome back here to the Corwell Health Drive for Life Invitational, the beautiful Oakland Hills Country Club. This is Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm Anthony Bellino filling in for Uncle Paul today in a perfect venue the day after the U.S. Open at Pinehurst No. 2. We are at the home of the upcoming 2034 and 2051 U.S. Opens here at Oakland Hills. And we're here for a great cause with Corwell Health. Dr. Daniel Carey, the president, Corwell Health, William Beaumont University Hospital there in Royal Oak, joins us. You are the co-chair for this event. Just mashed a drive. You're 70 yards out. You leave your team to come do radio with me. Doctor, thank you so much for the time today.
It's my pleasure, Anthony. Great to be with you here this afternoon. What a beautiful day. Wow.
What a beautiful day. What a beautiful drive. If you get back to your group and they didn't make good on that, what are you going to tell them?
Well, it's about fun. I hope they made the great approach and make the putt for that birdie. But if not, we're having a great day out here for a great cause.
Yes, and you mentioned the word hope, and events like these can bring hope to so many because of the funds that are raised here. How does the community support this Drive for Life impact Corwell Health patients overall?
There's no way to say it except that it makes a huge difference. There's so many particular therapies that we have, but you've got to stitch it together. You've got to make it a whole. You've got to be able to help patients navigate through the system and provide innovative new techniques and new equipment. And it really is the difference between good and truly great and world-class. We're so excited to have these resources through this event.
Now, the foundation hosts several fundraising events like this one here, but that's not all that it does. Can you give us an overview on the importance of the foundation to the hospital programs?
Right. The foundation is, again, it's a way to connect with the community. It's also a way for community to, again, create resources that simply would not be there anyway. So for us, it's again, we live in the community. We want our this is the care that we would want for ourselves and our own family. My wife was operated on it at the University Hospital, so we understand what it means to the community. And this is a way for the community to get involved to help own these programs along with us as we create world-class programs in a community-friendly setting.
You know, Tom was talking earlier, Tom McGannon, the Vice President of Community Engagement there at Cordwell Health, he was talking about the funds raised here in some of the different avenues that they go as far as patient care, whether it's underinsured and transportation, trying to get people to, you know, back and forth to and from their treatments. Dr. Deckney was on with us earlier talking about the new and improved robotic surgery where they take the incisions down from 5.5 to 6 inches down to 3.5 centimeters, which I was trying to do my conversions. I got temperature in Fahrenheit. I got Celsius over there. I'm working on the metric system. But you think about how all of these different sort of avenues for patient treatment and patient care come together, and what is seen as an event for, you know, guys and gals to come out here and play this beautiful course, how it all culminates in the benefit for the patient.
Sure. And you mentioned this beautiful course. You know, for many of us, this is a bucket list experience. This course is just, you see it on TV, you hear about it, but playing it is just such a treat. So when we can provide that experience for such a great cause, it's just a dynamic duo, if you will, of just of self-reinforcing positive things for the individuals that are supporting the programs and the programs that are there for the community when we all need them. And, you know, just, I've been a physician for many years, more years than I want to admit. But in those 35 or 40 years, it's just incredible the difference between the kinds of things we can cure or put at bay for an indefinite, for decades. And each year, new treatments are made available. We have great new physicians that are being trained in new techniques, new discoveries. But at the local level, we've got to make sure that's part of our programming. And that's what these resources do. They bring those to the bedside in our communities so that they can make a difference and you don't have to go around the world to get world-class care. It's available just down the street.
And you might be thinking to yourself, I mean, because you named it, I mean, bucket list. That's what it is. The U.S. Open is coming back. The Ryder Cup has been here. There are 8 USGA events from the Junior Am coming up in late July here at Oakland Hills, all the way through, as I mentioned, 2051. I mean, the schedule is packed with events. Bucket list item, you can pay $500 or $700 to go play TPC Sawgrass for a round of 18, and then you have to get all the way there. Or you can get involved with an event like this and know that your money's going somewhere great and have a wonderful outing here at this bucket list course.
It is, and we've got 200 golfers today. We're raising almost $300,000 for cancer research, cancer services, cancer equipment and infrastructure. It is just one of those things that it's successful every year because it's doing great things and creating a great experience, and that connection is something that the community really recognizes, and you can feel it if you're here.
And if you have a stick and you want to get out here, you got to put this event on your list of things to do. Get it on the calendar early, people. How do they go about doing that, Doc?
Well, we can make sure that, one, it's the Drive for Life Invitational. You can see it at the Cordwell Health website. Also, you can always call the foundation, 947-522-011. And also, if they did not get in this year's event, we are still taking contributions for these important programs that we have. So you've got the number, but also visit Beaumont.org/giving.
Now, as the co-chair of this event, did you, you know, you have to have a certain level of game to slap co-chair on the nameplate there. You know, what are we, you know, how you playing out there today?
Well, I think Nancy Sussek is my co-chair. She's the president at Troy Hospital, a part of the Cordwell Health System, and she's been a great partner. Our fundraising committee has been terrific, and You know, I played well last year. I'm playing well today. So it's been a great day so far.
Well, Dr. Carey, get back out there. Come on, you hit that great drive. You got to make sure the team cleans up the approach. We thank you for your time. Thanks for stopping by. And we interrupted your round to come join us here on WJR, but we appreciate it, my friend.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, doctor. There he goes. He is Dr. Daniel Carey, President, Corwell Health at William Beaumont University Hospital there in Royal Oak here for the Drive for Life Invitational at Oakland Hills Country Club. This is a fabulous venue for us to be at. We are so happy and proud to be a part of this. And the approach shot that when our last guest was on, Andrew Arnold, the meteorologist and lead forecaster for the National Weather Service, when he was on, I made a mention that a great golf shot was hit here at the green at number 18 on the North Course at Oakland Hills. That great golf shot was hit by none other than our own Todd Flood. He went from behind the bench to right behind the flagstick.
Wow. I mean, it's not, what can Todd Flood not do?
I mean... Unbelievable. It wouldn't be surprising to me if he was taking some meetings out here on the golf courses. We are pulling doctors in from the golf course, pulling them in from the hospital. Now we've got Todd Flood out there hitting absolute. I mean, that was the perfect golf shot because the way that this 18th is set up here on the North Course, right? It's a straightaway par four. You've got it, you know, fairway bunker left. Greenside bunkers encompass and surround this green. It is a reverse tabletop sort of green. So you have the higher shelf near the front and everything will slope off towards the back. And then there is a secondary slope off the front right of the green. And the pin is actually tucked in the back left. So Todd Flood hits his ball to the middle of the green. It hits, takes a bounce, catches the slope, almost winning the cup. I had to go tell him before our interview with Dr. Carey how close he was to just pulling off the two on the par four.
And you didn't even know that was him at the time either.
I had no idea. It sounds like I'm just doing a corporate thing right now, but I swear that is the shot of the tournament so far, at least that I've been able to see here right off of the 18th green at the North Course at Oakland Hills. A beautiful venue and a wonderful cause here for the Corwell Health Drive for Life Invitational at Oakland Hills. We'll step aside when we return. Kristen Sokol, the Senior Director of Advancement Communications and Marketing at Gleaners Community Food Bank of Southeastern Michigan. WJR Cares Day. Yeah, that's right. We care, and we're trying to feed the community. We're going to talk about it next here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, 760 WJR. Welcome back here to the Corwell Health Drive for Life Invitational at the beautiful Oakland Hills Country Club. This is Focus with Paul W. Smith. Paul W. is off today. Anthony Bellino filling in, sitting in the big chair for Paul W. And WJR Cares Day. WJR Cares is sponsored by Hunger Free Summer, powered by Zero Hunger, Zero Waste, by Kroger. The hyper-focus on feeding children. They might not have a meal because school is out in Gleaner's Hunger Free Summers program. That's the food bank serving the community for this Hunger Free Summer campaign. Is getting in on all of the action. And here to discuss that, Kristen Sokol, Senior Director of Advancement Communications, Marketing, and Media, PR. She does it all at the Gleaner's Community Food Bank of Southeastern Michigan. Kristen, good afternoon to you, and thank you for taking the time to join us.
Hello, and good afternoon. And I don't do everything, maybe just a lot of things.
One of many hats, right? And you know what? You could be good at a lot of things and even great at even more things. So Zero Hunger, Zero Waste. What is our plan, Kristen?
Well, summer is a really difficult time for families because kids are home from school. And so when families rely on those provided meals, when you're home for the summer, now you have increased expense. And we know that kids need proper nutrition every single day so they can be successful all summer long and when they go back to school. So we're grateful to have partners like Kroger and Citizens that can support the Hunger Free Summer campaign to make sure that kids get those meals. And during the Hunger Free Summer campaign, it's really easy for anyone to help because of our match partners, Citizens and Kroger. Every $1 will provide 6 meals when it would usually provide 3. So that means anyone contributing this summer will have twice the impact to make sure kids get the meals they need.
It is just incredible. And Kroger kicking this hunger-free summer off with WJR Cares following a series of live broadcasts. Our sister station, WDVD, will be around from 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. Tomorrow, Tuesday, June 18th, Monday, July 1st, and Thursday, August 1st, throughout the summer in the fight to end hunger. And our hope that is no kid goes without a meal while school is out. And you talk to, you know, what a challenging time this is for many families. And in Michigan, over 1.4 million people face hunger, including many children. Last year, Kroger of Michigan donated over $15 million to local hunger relief, rescuing over 4 million pounds of fresh food and providing 7.4 million meals. Those are just simply incredible numbers, Kristen.
Well, it takes collaboration to solve complex issues. And so we're grateful that Kroger is really taking a stand through their Zero Hunger, Zero Waste plan to make sure that our communities are stronger, because we are stronger when we work together. And I know that together we can solve this issue for the 1 in 5 kids who may otherwise not know where their next meal is coming from.
You know, my friend Lomas Brown and I were at an event, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? And it was an outdoor event. It was called Cars and Cigars. And there was a ton of food. And the workers there were gathering the food. And Lomas kept asking, where are you taking this? And he said, well, some of it we can actually take to a food bank, which was really nice. Because this next statistic, I think, is incredibly eye-opening to our consumption here in this country. 38% of food produced goes to waste, while 1 in 6 children in Michigan don't know where their next meal is coming from. So when we talk about trying to eliminate waste, how do we go about doing that?
The two words that should never go together, as you mentioned, are child and hunger. And so working collaboratively to make sure that we're using all of our resources to the fullest is the best way for us to do that. Whether it's in advance of that process where food banks can collaborate with food producers, grocers, manufacturers on the front end, or whether it's food rescue on the back end, like Kroger is doing with their waste program. It makes sense to get that extra surplus food to families in need to create those stronger households so that families can move on to their next success. Families who know where their next meal are coming from are healthier. They're able to take care of other expenses in their household, stay in their houses longer. And all of those things make us better off as a community. So it is so important to really use all of our resources together.
And Kristen, at Gleaners, are you taking, if somebody's, you know, driving around right now and they hear this and they're thinking to themselves, well, I could go pick something up at the grocery store. I might want to make a donation. Maybe I have something, some canned goods in my home or something along the lines. Are there places where our listeners could make a drop off?
Yes, Gleaners is always accepting food at our distribution centers. You can even start your own food drive if you'd like. But an even easier way to do that, you could donate online, where your $1 provides 6 meals because of our purchasing power and our partnerships with grocers and food manufacturers and what have you. But again, if you have extra food in your cupboard, we will take that at our distribution center so that you can be part of that solution too.
Folks, you heard her. $1 is good for 6 meals with their purchasing power. And it's making the difference in our community over at the Gleaners Community Food Bank of Southeastern Michigan. Kristen, is there anything else that you want to make sure that you get across to our listeners right now?
I just think that it's so important to understand how easy it is to make a big, big difference. And if you don't have a dollar in your pocket, but you have time in your heart, Gleaners also needs volunteers all year long, because we couldn't do what we do if it weren't for others giving of their time. So it's a great opportunity to make a difference, whatever you're able to contribute.
No, I love that. And working in the food industry myself, you see it, you know, firsthand. And it's like, okay, you know, how can we make use of every product that is in our store? And, you know, when you see some of the statistics, you look at some of the numbers, it really does hit home. And hopefully our listenership can make a difference. WJR Cares Day here, trying to help out as best we can. You know, the event that we are at is for the community and for cancer patients in our own backyard. And this right here, these events this summer to stop child hunger in Southeast Michigan is a great cause per usual. And Kristen, we appreciate your time so much. Thank you for stopping by Focus with Paul W. Smith today.
Well, and thank you so much for having me.
We appreciate it. There she goes, Kristen Sokol, Senior Director of Advancement Communications, Marketing, Media, PR. She does it all. A woman of many hats, taking the time out of her day to join us here on Focus. Coming to you live from the Corewell Health Drive for Life Invitational at the beautiful Oakland Hills Country Club. And I cannot stress this enough. Coming up later on, July 22nd through the 27th, the U.S. Junior Am will be here. Oakland Hills, the South Course. If you want your opportunity to see who is next on the PGA Tour, that young man is playing in that event. I will guarantee it, and it is free to the public the entire week, July 22nd through the 27th, right here at Oakland Hills. One of eight events coming up through the year 2051 from the USGA at the beautiful Oakland Hills Country Club. We're going to step aside when we return. Dr. Jennifer Stromberg, very strong Swedish name there. Can't wait to learn more about that. And she's a radiation oncologist at Corewell Health. We're going to talk all about what's happening here at this wonderful event today at Oakland Hills. More Focus with Paul W. Smith, Anthony Bellino in for Paul W. today on the great voice of the Great Lakes, 760 WJR. Live from the Corewell Health Drive for Life Invitational, the beautiful Oakland Hills Country Club, this is Focus with Paul W. Smith on the great voice of the Great Lakes, 760 WJR. Just about 10 minutes until the top of the hour. So great to have you riding along with us. And we mentioned Oakland Hills, the first of eight USGA events will be played here at the end of July, the U.S. Junior Am. What's next on the PGA Tour? That young man, those young men will be here July 22nd through the 27th at Oakland Hills, and we're so grateful to be here with Corewell Health. And this is a fantastic outing in which they're looking to raise $300,000 in the neighborhood to help benefit those in our community here. Dr. Jennifer Stromberg, radiation oncologist, Corewell Health of Beaumont Troy Hospital, joins us now. Dr. Jennifer, thank you for taking the time. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, having all of us. We appreciate WJR so much and your sponsorship over the years.
You know, we were just talking about the Fisher Building, and now I need to know. Now I know that I better have the dessert table ready for your next venture there to the Fisher Theater when you're high atop the Golden Tower. You come see us there in our studio. You work directly with patients that benefit from patient programs that are supported from this event right here. The impact that this kind of philanthropy has on your patients is?
It's a tremendous impact. It really is a life-altering difference. The partnership we have with the community members that are out here today, the people golfing, our donors, our sponsors, has been steadfast and tremendous over the years, and we're very grateful. I'm fortunate that I'm a radiation oncologist, so I see patients on a daily basis and can see the impact. And what we really try to do is individualize our resources these days. So ask patients and families, because this disease affects the entire family unit, what they need. And then we try to tailor the resources that we have to offer to them. So it might be transportation, it might be nutritional needs, childcare needs, financial needs, nurse navigation. We really consider people survivors of cancer from the moment they're diagnosed, and we want to help them in that survivorship journey. So through their different transitions of care, and we couldn't do all that without this type of event, the monies raised here today, and the community engagement. So we're extremely grateful as providers, and I hear every day how grateful our patients are and their family members.
We were just talking to Dr. Daniel Carey about this earlier. This is a bucket list course, right? And you can book a tea time and travel all over, or you can get involved and have your money for whatever greens fee you were going to pay to go play TPC Sawgrass, for example, $500 to $700. Or you can have your money go right here and check the box for one of the nicest courses, the gem of the Great Lakes State, which is a mecca of golf, and do it while giving back. And why would Corewell Health's cancer treatment and breast care programs, why are they some of the best in the state?
I think they're some of the best in the state for many different reasons. I think this region has been, the hospital administration, the community, the board members, everyone has been incredibly generous and intelligent about identifying the state-of-the-art equipment and technology that we need to offer world-class care here in the Detroit area. And they also recognize the importance of staffing and services. This all takes people to actually deliver this care. So any employee has the ability to touch a patient in a very positive manner and change their day. And I think our culture, we're always trying to build on that. And I feel like another thing so important with cancer care is to be with these patients and their families on the continuum of their entire journey. So you've talked with some of my colleagues today about preventive care. We're really trying to go out into our community to community fairs and things like that, hold community events, always highlighting all the different months that raise awareness, whether it's colorectal cancer awareness or breast cancer awareness or childhood cancer awareness, always trying to partner with communities and events in the area to be on top of it, get ahead of it, as you say, but all the way through their cancer journey, whether it's radiation or medical oncology treatments or surgery or into palliative care and into end-of-life concerns as well. So to have that kind of continuum and then the breadth and the depth of the resources that we have and the generosity of this community, I can't say enough about some of the donors who have been with us through the years and some of the new donors that are just here today. It's been so fun to hear from them and hear from some of the ones where this is their first outing. And like you said, this is an opportunity to be highly efficient, play Oakland Hills, and benefit a good cause. So any of our listeners out there into efficiency, this is your opportunity, and you can still do it. Today's event is ongoing, but we have a website that we're still accepting donations for this year's event, beaumont.org/giving. Or our telephone number, 947-522-0100. So there's still an opportunity to partner with us today and be part of this. You know, almost everyone I talk to, their life has been touched by cancer, or a neighbor's life has. So these are your family members. These are your neighbors. This is our community. Let's be there for them.
Let's be there for them. And let's have a great time giving to a great cause, right? Because that is what it's all about. I mean, I was with Tom last week at TPC, and I asked him, I said, you got any more golf outings coming up? Is there any way that I can get involved and do more with Corewell Health? Because that's what, you know, we're so happy to be able to be out here and to be a part of this and to hopefully spread the word to whatever our power may be, to more people, that whether they are directly impacted and affected by cancer or if they want to get involved and be one of these partners and these supporters of these great events. And I know that you told us how they can support. If you want to hit the website one more time and the phone number one more time for our listeners out there.
Sure. So it's beaumont.org/giving, and the telephone number is 947-522-0100.
And Jennifer is the first name.
Correct.
Swedish. I learned that earlier, right? Stromberg, is that also Swedish?
It is.
Wow. That's fabulous. You want to know why? Big Swedish connection here in Detroit with the Red Wings. You know, Nick Lidstrom, Thomas Holmstrom, Henrik. I mean, there's been a lot of great Swedes, and you are one of them.
Thank you.
Dr. Jennifer, thank you so much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the day. Our temp has now hit triple digits according to our atomic clock.
Thank you.
Grab some water, get some refreshments.
Will do. Thank you for having me and for all your support.
And stay a while, would you? That's great. Thank you so much,
Take
Doctor.
Care.
There she goes, Dr. Jennifer Stromberg, radiation oncologist, Corewell Health, Beaumont Troy Hospital, joining us here at this just simply sensational event where we are looking to raise about $300,000 this year with just about 200 people on site. And since 1998, this event has raised more than $10.7 million for these oncology programs. The proceeds of this event today support programs and services at Walter and Marilyn Wolpin Comprehensive Breast Care Center at Corewell Health, the William Beaumont University Hospital in Royal Oak, and the Wilson Cancer Resource Center at Corewell Health in Troy. Well, you know what? We've got a lot of people that help make this show all possible. Ray Templin is the one, our technical director. He sets everything up and makes sure that we have a little bit of shade out here on a hot day, thinking about needing a cold drink. That's Ray right there. Mike Parsons, he's our producer, as always. He helps line everybody up and make sure that Paul's all taken care of. Danielle Mason, our audio engineer, high atop the Golden Tower, the Fisher Building over at headquarters. And I'm Anthony Bellino, filling in for Paul W. And stay tuned right here to the great voice of the Great Lakes. We get JR Afternoons coming up, Sports Wrap, the Mitch Album Show. We've got an action-packed day here on 760 WJR.